Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
We would like to acknowledge that this podcast meeting is being held on Aboriginal land, the land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. And we would like to pay respect to their elders past, present and emerging. And their multiple birth parents with children with disabilities.
And this week we are speaking to Kathy Adams. She's a physiotherapist who has been working alongside children and their families for the past 35 years. She's passionate about providing encouragement, support and tools to assist parents to have fun with their children, help them grow, thrive, chase their goals and dreams together.
This podcast contains truth, laughter and the occasional F word, so it's not really suitable for children.
Sometimes you just have to get your shits out. Shit, 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 shit. That's right, this is a language warning. Oh, shit.
Hello, Mandy. Hello, Mandy. It's just 1P today. Kate is in the thick of selling her home and moving. So today it's 1P only. So the sun is shining in Melbourne. It's kind of cold warm and we always talk about the weather. So there you go. But today I'm excited to speak to someone who's been really a big important part of my life. Would you like to say hello and introduce yourself?
Yeah. Hi, I'm Kathy. I'm a physiotherapist and I've been working with kids and their families for 35 years. So that gives you an indication of how old I am. But and I've had the great privilege of working with Mandy and a couple of her children. So we've known each other for a long while.
Yes, we have. And I'm sorry it's taken so long to get you on the podcast, Kathy. It's exciting to hear all the physio peas are listening going, finally, we've got a physio on. So let's get to our questions. So do you have any special music that you listen to in the good times or the tricky times?
Well, look, Spotify would tell you that my favourite song is Do the Propeller by the Wiggles. Which I say to my hubby proves the point that I actually do use my Spotify account for work and that I don't listen to that by choice, but it's a really great song to use for therapy because there's so much action and fun and the kids absolutely love it. Yes. So that's the Spotify one that they think is my favourite song. But I do like to, as I head to work in the morning, I like to listen to some music that gets me in the right space to be able to sort of be confident in what I'm doing and to equip myself to help parents. Mm-hmm. So my sort of song of the moment is one that not everyone will necessarily know, but it's by a person called Lauren Daigle and it's called You Say. Mm-hmm. And it's quite a powerful song.
What a song.
I'd love to tell you a few lyrics from it.
Tell me.
I, I won't sing them. I'll read them ahead. I'll read them out because you just, you know, when you know the song, you just want to sing it, but you don't want to hear me doing that. But look, it talks about I keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie tells me I will never measure up. Mm. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Mm. Remind me once again who I am. I need to know.
Gosh.
And I think that's really powerful. But then the chorus goes on to say, you say I am loved when I can't feel a thing. You say I am strong when I think I am weak.
Mm.
You say I'm held when I'm falling short. When I don't belong, you say I am yours.
Oh.
And they're really powerful words.
Yeah,
look, for me, this is a Christian song and that's the background it's coming from. And for me, I have a strong faith and I find that just really encourages me to know that I'm where God wants me to be and I'm doing the best thing I can. But it's also a song that I think really equips me for when I go to work and help my families, because as a physio, I don't think I'm just a physio. I'm there trying to be a holistic support working alongside families.
Yeah.
So this is a song I reckon every parent should have a listen to, because
even as the mum, you're waiting for your physio to come and do your home visit or go and, you know, sometimes there's so many appointments. And those words, I would often feel like, I haven't done enough. We haven't done enough.
Yeah.
Coaching. We haven't, you know, all of that.
Yeah. So, you know, I try to get across to every parent that they are strong, that they are supported, that they are loved, and most importantly, that they belong.
Mm.
And, you know, I think all of us have got someone, whether you've got a faith or not, I think you've got people around us who provide that for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope as a physio that I'm sort of a cheerleader for the parents and the families that I work with. And I hope people listening might be able to resonate to that.
Mm-hmm.
But you might have friends or families that are your cheerleader.
Mm-hmm.
And I would suggest, having done a bit of listening to your podcast, that Mandy and Kate and the listeners are also the cheerleaders to everyone who's listening here. You're not alone. You belong and you're part of this tribe.
Yeah, it's an awesome, incredible group of listeners, and it's like a P team. Yeah,
it's awesome.
What about, did you win any awards at school?
Oh, that's a long time ago, Mandy, a really long time ago for me.
Won any physio awards?
Look, at school I used to actually win sports awards. I was a real sports person. So, that was my thing. Look, I did have the privilege a couple of years ago to win the Australian Physiotherapy Association Anne McCoy Award, which is an award for outstanding services to the paediatric physiotherapy profession. So I feel very honoured to have been awarded that a few years ago.
Who nominated you? Did you nominate yourself?
No, you can't do that. A colleague. You know, I didn't know about it at the time, but a colleague nominated me, and then there's sort of a process of all these questions that had to be go through, and it goes to a committee, and obviously they thought I was worthy enough, so I received that award. So that was special, but I'm not into individual awards. I'm about working collaboratively with team of people.
Yeah, but I think that's good for all our listeners and the physio listeners to hear. That's a really a special and important award within your field.
Yeah, look, and it's...
And we lost the awards, you know, and it was like a bummer, really. But I wanted to win. Okay, and you've sort of shared already why you're in the P tribe, but also do you want to tell us a little, in your words, tell us why you're in the P tribe?
Yeah. So, look, obviously I'm a physio and I have a real passion for working with kids and families. I've all my life wanted to work with children, and I originally thought I'd be a teacher because that's the way you work with children, but my dad and my brother and my sister were all teachers, so there was no way I was going to follow along, so I thought I'll be an individual. And I love sport and I love kids, so I went, I wonder if I can put sport and kids together as a physio. And that's what I did, and 35 years later I'm very delighted to still be working in the same field I started in, and I just love it and I feel like I'm so blessed every day I go to work.
So when you finished Year 12, did you go straight to uni?
Straight to uni, yeah. and 4 years straight, and then straight to work. I did a year working as a general physio, and then I was really fortunate to get a job at the Royal Children's Hospital. So once I got there, I stayed there for 8 years and then moved out into the community to do community-based physio when I was at the stage that I was starting my own family.
Right. So when you started at the Royal Children's, what area did you go into first? Did you get a choice, or was it like, this is where you're going?
Look, they have a wonderful program that was a graduate program, so that you did sort of 4 months in an area, then you'd move on to another area and keep working through there. And I was very fortunate that I was then able to move on to a senior role working in their developmental paediatric area. And lead that team for a couple of years as well before I finally left. So I was very well grounded and really well educated and supported in working with PEDS, and then decided I want to take this out to the community where I live and you know, the people that are part of my world, and take my skills there.
Yeah. So were you at the old hospital? You would have been.
I was, yes, a long time ago.
I remember it.
And it's amazing now. It's such a great hospital.
I just remember going, I mean, I went there as a child, and then the girls had their first big surgery at the old hospital, and then the week after, that's when the new one opened.
Oh, wow, there you go, timing.
But I remember going to the new one, it was so organised, like go straight down to x-ray and walk in, whereas the old hospital was like up through corners and corridors, and yeah, I mean, it was incredible.
Yeah, look, so different. I have spent a bit of time at the new hospital with one of my children with medical issues. So it was such a contrast to, you know, the old hospital that I'd worked in, to then be there as a parent, sort of wearing the other hat in the new hospital, and just seeing how wonderful it was and how it just suited things so much better. And, you know, the couches to sleep on at night were actually comfy and all of those sorts of things, which I'm sure there's probably people listening who have experienced many a night in at the children's hospital.
Yeah. So when you were in the hospital setting, what do you think you learned in those 8 years about working with families? It's different in a hospital setting.
Look, it is different. I guess I learned about a whole team of people needing to come together to support the needs, and as that group also needing to look at the family and the children holistically, that there's a lot more to their world than just here at the hospital. Mm. And I think that's where I was able to take those skills out into the community and see things more from the local perspective and your natural environment sort of perspective.
So we met you after both my girls had surgery on the same day. So one had an osteotomy, the other one had some tendon stuff. And so that was the first time we met you. What did you think when you heard about these twins having surgery at the same time?
Well, it
what's that before?
Look, you were the first twins that I'd had together. I've had some twins but not having surgery together. And I thought, oh, my goodness, this is going to be really hard work for the family. But it also meant that they were doing it together. And I think, you know, and along that journey of their rehabilitation and all their physio, I think that was a real benefit, because, you know, it was harder for one of your girls than the other one. And, you know, to be able to have sort of an encourager and a cheerleader there to help along, and they weren't doing it just themselves. So, yeah, I think it was amazing, and the strength of you and Dad to support them through that.
Well, you're just in it. So you just, I mean, there was all the lead up. We knew it was going to be tricky, but when you're in it, you're just like, my gosh, you know.
Yes.
We had tough times, didn't we?
Yes, I can remember a few tears.
I know.
You know, not just the girls, probably us as well.
Yeah, and there was the whole liaising with the hospital and all those kinds of things. That was
yes. Communication sort of challenges, and I think that's where, when I moved into the community, you really appreciate, you know, trying to get that real open lines of communication between the hospital and the local community is just so important to make it easier for families.
Yeah, not felt like I was sort of in the middle.
Yeah, that's right.
I never felt like. So, yeah, I just remember that one time trying to bend that knee. Oh, my gosh.
I'm remembering it too. And I think it probably highlighted, Mandy, some of the things that we do as paediatric physios is trying to incorporate play as much as possible into your therapy. Obviously, post-op, you really have to do some structured stuff, but using play to the best of your ability is just so important.
So you would come with your suitcase of stuff and the girls knew that there would be fun.
Yeah.
Reaching and putting stuff on the windows and bubbles and all sorts of amazing stuff. Do you think, because you were a mother by then, do you think that you had some extra skills from having children of your own to understand more about play, or did you always feel like that was important?
Look, play has always been important. And, you know, before I had kids, I thought that I had that well covered. But I realised once I was a parent myself, you just had a far greater understanding. And I think I just developed a greater repertoire of things. I never thought I was a creative person, but, you know, you have to become creative, you know, and figure out how do you do it. You know, when you want a child to stand on one leg, you can't just tell them stand on one leg, you know. You kick a ball, you pop a bubble, you make a circle in the air, you stomp on a whoopee cushion and you make it fart, and kids love farts. You know, you just become more and more creative, I think, the more you do it and the more interaction you have with different children who have different sense of humours and different ways of playing.
True. And I think by the time we got to you, it was a different physio. We had early intervention physio, and that was all around getting them moving, possibly getting to walking. So this was a different physio for our family to deal with as well, sort of after surgery.
So yes.
Awesome that you home visited. I just remember thinking, thank goodness I don't have to get them out.
Yeah. And look, and I think all our early intervention services and physio services have progressed over the years, and we know of the value of working with families in the natural environment. It's, you know, if we can go to where they're at and have them in a familiar spot, then that just makes it so much easier, not to mention the logistics of, you know, packing up two girls have got plaster casts, you know, into a car to get to somewhere else to get their therapy.
It was incredible. And a baby. So just
yeah, that's right.
It must have come in thinking, okay, here we go. And what about you do have a space where families can come to you though, is that right?
Yes, yeah, that's right. So, look, I do 2 days where I work in the clinic, and that sometimes allows me to have access to families coming from far and wide that's too far to travel to come in. And there are some families that actually prefer to come to a neutral spot, that they find that it can be really distracting for their child in their home environment, or various reasons that they choose to not have someone there. But certainly there's benefits. And on the other days, I'm going to homes, childcare centres, school, kinder, hydrotherapy pool. So, you know, very flexible. So my job never gets boring. There's always something different to do.
Definitely. And I also felt like I think maybe it must have been a little bit later with her next surgery. It was all when the NDIS was exploding and you were having to move towards that. And I could see that was huge, you know, having to write letters and all that sort of stuff. How did you manage that time?
Look, the NDIS coming in has been a wonderful thing and a challenging thing all in one, and I'm sure everyone's there just smiling and nodding about that. Mm-hmm. It's opened up access to things that just wasn't possible before, but it's also, you know, brought in lots of administrative things along the way. And I know I've heard you talking in other podcasts, Mandy, about forms.
Yeah.
And I hate forms, but that's just part and parcel of, you know, what's come in with the NDIS. Like I said, it's given us access to funds and services that were, you know, were never available before or out of the reach of families from a financial perspective. So that's been really wonderful.
Yeah.
I guess one of the
wait for certain funding for AFOs and so now we can just, you know, get the AFO or get sort of whatever those sort of things. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. One of the things that I've found challenging is because of the model of the NDIS, and by the nature it's a government-funded agency, you know, the work that we do in early intervention has always been about strengths-based and being positive and looking at what the child can do rather than what the child can't do. But when you then step into a disability-funded model, you flip things on your head, and that's really challenging. And I think that must be so hard for families that, you know, we have to write these reports to gain funds for a child and have to speak about the things that they can't do and that they have difficulty with, rather than celebrating, you know, the things they can do. I try to include both of that in my reports, but I think the reality is when we've got people looking at funds, they're looking at the, you know, the deficits. So that's really challenging. And I just really try to encourage parents to just read those reports briefly and to look at your child through your eyes.
I think you get better at that as time goes on. But I think I think there's peak times, like we're getting ready for school or we're getting ready for, kinder or getting ready for high school. There's these big,
all those transitions.
All the transition times feel like, okay, we're getting all these letters telling us all the things our kids can't do. And then there's some lull times where it's like, okay, well, I don't have to read that. Yeah.
And I think I like to encourage parents to realise that they know their child better than anybody else does. And I think sometimes you can feel, and that's where I like that song at the start, sometimes you can feel so inadequate, and yet you are the expert in your child's life. You are the one who knows them better than anyone else. And you know, be strong with what you know and you believe about your child, because, you know, they are, every child is wonderful and unique and beautiful, and you know all of those strengths. And I think it's really important to make sure you get that across to the people that you're working with.
Yeah, and I think that's an interesting thing that I want to ask you a little bit about, working with parents, because that's who we're primarily speaking to in this podcast. You know, what is it like? What has the toll been on you over 35 years working with people that are having a difficult time? How do you look after yourself?
Yeah, look, that's a really good question. Look, you know, I was just saying to someone this morning, there are some days that you just go, this is the most wonderful day, and how blessed am I to be doing what I'm doing. But there are other days where I go home, and the honest truth is, you know, I just curl up and cry. And, you know, that's where it's wonderful to have a good support base around you. I've got a wonderful husband who I can sort of debrief with and share the tough times without breaching confidentiality. But, you know, say today was really tough and something really sad happened.
We're working with human suffering sometimes, and children, that's a really tough job.
Yeah, look, that's right. And look, and again, I guess I have a faith that helps me gain some strength from that, and I believe I'm in the spot I'm meant to be, and I've been gifted in ways to help other people, so that helps me. But sometimes I talk about a love tank, and that I need to make sure my love tank's full at the start of the day, because often I empty it out throughout the day. And then depending on my day, I might listen to things or talk to someone on my way home to refill my love tank before I come and share more with my family and have to have some in store again.
Of course. What about, do you have many colleagues out in the community?
Yeah, look, absolutely. And we, you know, we do good networking. And I guess because I've been around for a long while, part of what I have tried to set up is sort of some mentoring. So I have a number of paediatric physios that I mentor. But when I say that I'm mentoring them, it all comes back in reverse as well, that we all work together. And just last week we actually had a networking gathering of all the sort of individual therapists who work out in the eastern suburbs where I do. So we had OTs, speeches, physios all get together and have a drink and some afternoon tea and just share and yeah. So it's great having a network around.
I think sometimes me, for myself, I'm a sleep consultant, I work by myself. Sometimes I miss that sense of colleague.
Yeah, and that's why this sort of network got set up, because most of us are people that either work by ourselves or, you know, just pass ships that pass in the night with other therapists. So it allows us to have a network and to have some people to debrief with and to share with.
There was a time where I felt like I'd seen every paediatric physio in Melbourne, Monash to the Angus to the Children's. And I thought, is everyone talking about me? When you're just in, you know, Botox and serial casting and all that sort of stuff and the VPRS, it was just our whole world in those very early years. Physio was an enormous part of my girl's life.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I don't know whether you remember, Mandy, but one of your girls wrote a book about her her disability.
She did, and it's lost at the school. They couldn't find it. It was devastating because it was I wish we had that book.
Look, it was beautiful, and you might not remember this part of it, but I have such a strong recollection because I'm in the book.
Oh, are you?
And she speaks about her physio, Kathy, and says, Kathy's really good at physio, but she's terrible at drawing. And that has never left me. And she's so true.
Wish I had that book because our school got demolished.
What a shame.
Library went.
Yeah.
People just got rid of stuff because we donated it to the school.
But, yes.
Yeah, because I remember she read it out at assembly. Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad you remember that.
But, you know, I used to write up the, you know, the home activity program and I'd write things down and then I'd do these little stick figure drawings, which are shocking. And I've now got some proper drawings that I can copy off. But, your little one said, your drawing's terrible.
She's a truth teller still.
Absolutely.
Oh, my goodness.
Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Now tell me about your soccer program. I want to hear all about it. I want the world to know about it.
That's a really exciting program that's sort of been probably 2 years in the making, but we've been going for about 4 months now. So it's an all-ability soccer program in the outer eastern suburbs of Melbourne. Right. It came about from a few things. I had a couple of children that I was working with that wanted to be involved in sport, and I know, Mandy, you've been down this journey with your girls too. Mm-hmm. And finding something that was appropriate for them and engaging that they wanted to do was really difficult. And these two boys really wanted to be involved in soccer, but there was nothing that was kind of appropriate for them. So I've got a long history with Maroondah United Football Club, but it's the English European football, so it's soccer. And I was a vice president there for 12 years. So I went, right, I've got the avenue to do something here. So we started those boys and some other kids came into our club just within the existing program. But we soon found that it's okay for a year or two to do things with younger kids. Mm-hmm. But you want to do things with your peers and at a level that's appropriate for you. Mm. And that just wasn't available for these boys. You know, the second year we brought them in as the mentors for the younger kids so that they felt like they had responsibility and they were really proud of themselves. By the time you get to year three, you know, they're beyond that.
Mm.
So they challenged me and their parents challenged me and said, come on, you've talked about doing something. You need to get this going.
Thanks.
Yeah, so I was also working alongside one of my families as a physio, that the dad was one of the soccer coaches at our club. And so we used soccer with his daughter in therapy sessions because he was fanatical. And so she learnt, you know, that love grew for her. So we were kind of using soccer in there, and I sort of started to speak to him about, you know, my thoughts I'd had and these kids that I'd been talking to. And he said, look, you know, we need to follow this up. So, you know, COVID came in the middle of all of this. And we started to do a bit of planning. And very sadly, his daughter passed away. And he knows I'm speaking about this. Jules is a wonderful coach and just the most amazing man. And then he was the one that really challenged me. And he said, right, no more talking. We need to get this thing happening. I've got spare time. I don't want to sit and think. I want to put all my energy to in this, and I want to do this in honour of my daughter.
The legacy from her
life. Yeah. So, of course, I couldn't say no. Like, it had to happen from there.
Yes, it did.
Yeah. So, you know, he was wonderful, and he started applying for grants, and we got some funds to set us up. We ran a couple of pilot sessions, and our hope was that we might get maybe 10 kids come along, and we had three pilot sessions, and I think we had 10 or 12 kids at every one, and some of them were, you know, different children.
Yeah.
So we set things up, and this winter season we started the program. So we've got kids from, we're calling it for primary school age children. So kids from 5 to 12.
Excellent.
And it's all abilities, so any level of ability for a child. So we have some children who have not been able to kick a ball, some others that are able to play really, really well, but they have difficulty regulating themselves, or they have trouble having to pass the ball to someone else. They just want to keep the ball themselves. Children who are verbal, some who are non-verbal. We've got a whole variety of children.
Just want to come and watch. They sound like the most beautiful group.
It is so wonderful. And I've been, you know, well, we've been blown away. We have got 21 children registered for the program. Mm. And, you know, it is just wonderful. We got some support, and all the children wear full soccer uniforms, the same as the Premier League players wear.
There is not a P that will not buy the full uniform. That is the greatest part. To be able to put your child in a uniform makes me want to cry right now. Because you just think that there's no places for our kids, and to give them something to put on every week for them to be proud of, it's magic.
Yep. And they didn't have to pay for them. We did that for them because we knew how important it was.
Yes. Oh, Kathy. Oh, my word. And so is it weekly? Is it fortnightly? When is it on?
Look, we're on Saturday mornings, and we're actually running it fortnightly. We surveyed the parents after we ran the three-session pilot sort of study, and the feedback from the majority was that with all their therapy and all their other things on, that weekly started to become a burden, but fortnightly was achievable, as well as keeping some consistency and familiarity for the kids so that they were able to sort of be a part of that.
Yeah. Now, I know people always talk about, you know, teenagers needing sport, but there is a huge gap for primary school age children with disabilities. So good on you in making that narrow. And because I think that's when kids, if they're going to school and there's a bring your sports uniform day and they don't have one, you know,
yeah,
they've got that. And then, you know, there's different groups for teenagers. Still need more, but definitely that age group I found was very difficult to find somewhere for them to belong.
Yeah. And look, it's one of those things that I hope does expand to be teenagers and even an adult team. But obviously you've got to start somewhere small and achievable. And, you know, we've been rallying volunteers as we go, and we've got a team of volunteers who are awesome, couldn't do it without them. But as we grow that, you know, hopefully we can get more and more. But look, it's just been such a blessing. You know, I went into this hoping that I might just impact the lives of one family. Right. And you know what? My life has been impacted by it. There's just absolutely no doubt about it. The very first day, my husband, Phil, came along, you know, to help us the first day and be a support. And the plan was, you know, then that he'd do stuff on the house while I did this. Mm. And at the end of that first day, I was just in his arms, bawling my eyes out about how wonderful it was. And he just looked at me and he went, I'm here every time with you. I can't not do this. And that's really special to share that together, because he doesn't see me work. He doesn't see, you know, me in action doing what I love. So that's really special too.
Yeah, and then you realise this is to come every fortnight and to see these children doing somewhere where they previously didn't belong. That's just really awesome stuff. Can't help but rub off on you.
No, that's right. And it's such little things. And I think, you know, if we've got time, I'd love to tell you a couple of stories from the program. But I think some of these stories reflect back to every family, whether it's in their therapy or their day-to-day life. But it's, you know, we make sure we celebrate the little things. And we've got one little fellow who, like I said, at the start, he couldn't kick the ball. And, you know, after the first day, the mum sort of said, is there any point me bringing him along? And I went, absolutely. I said, look at the smile on his face. And then we had recently, you know, we were doing, you know, one of our little sessions we did, and he kicked the ball and he kicked it well. Well, he put both hands up in the air and he ran along the sideline and he high-fived everyone, calling out, I did it, I did it. And if you weren't watching, you might think he just kicked a goal. But no, he kicked the ball and it was just so special.
Oh, every one of us listening can imagine that moment. That's what we call a milestone.
So yeah, absolutely.
I don't care about milestones, but that is a milestone that other families would go, well, my kid kicked a ball when they were 9 months old. No, that is a moment.
Yeah, that's right. And last week I had a session. We decided we'd do a thing where the kids had to go against the volunteers. And, you know, they, you know, I was calling out, get Coach Jules, and he's calling out, get Coach Kathy. And they got me because they're going for me first. So then I was there helping the kids to try and get Jules. And one of the boys who hardly talks, and he's often got headphones on to block out all the sensory overload, he looks at all the other kids and he goes, right, guys, we're going to have to work together to make this happen. And I just about fell over backwards and went, oh, my goodness, how gorgeous. And then another boy looks at him and goes, you're right, teamwork is the dream work. And I tell you what, I made sure we got Coach Jules the very next go.
Yes. But all of that incredible learning and, yeah, so much at that moment.
Yeah.
Let alone the friendships. Now, as a soccer mum with Special Olympics, standing on the sidelines, meeting new friends myself as we're all watching our young adults playing soccer. I mean, I think there's time that she should be maybe going by herself, but I don't want to miss out on meeting new friends.
No. And that was one of the other reasons we wanted to get this program going. I had a mum say to me, the child's dad just wanted to be able to go to a sporting club with his son and both of them be welcomed and included together, and they hadn't found anywhere where they were able to do that. And they come down together every time, and it's just so special that they share that together.
And they look forward to that, Kathy. You know that's disgusting. Yeah. Like a birthday party invitation, I always say, and Kate and I always say, we put that on the fridge, we ring all the people in our life that are excited for us about that, and we tell them we've got new stories to tell.
Yeah, that's right. And that leads me to another story we had a few weeks ago. There was two boys came running up to myself and the mum of one of the boys, and one of these boys is verbal and one's non-verbal, and the one who's verbal said, guess what? This boy is coming to my birthday party. He nodded yes. And I burst into tears and so did the mum.
See? Friends.
Yeah, it's.
And they don't have that at school. So to be able to go outside of school and find that is gold.
Yeah, so.
I think maybe this might be your most impactful thing, Kathy, do you think?
It feels like it to me at the moment. From day one, I just went, oh my goodness. And it's amazing. I've just got this renewed energy and excitement and, want to just do more.
So, you know, for the therapies, as we call you out there who are listening and feeling like, you know, maybe you're stuck or you've come through COVID and heck, it was hard. And, you know, maybe there is some time to think outside the square a little bit.
And look, and this is amazing therapy as well as everything else that's a part of it. And it's fitness. And we know all our research shows us the importance of fitness, and particularly as children start to get a little bit older and kids with cerebral palsy and other disabilities, just how important it is to get that exercise. And we've got to find a spot where they're passionate. If you're not having fun doing what you're doing, you're not going to want to keep doing it. So that's what, you know, that's what this program's about. That's what my therapy is like, with the toys and the games and that we play. You've got to engage the child, you've got to engage the family, and make them want to be a part of it. And, you know, it's like they say, if you're doing what you love, you never work a day of your life. Well, it's the same with our therapy. If you love what you're doing, it isn't work, it's not exercise, it's just fun.
Yes, definitely. I'm thinking about my own girl, and that she would say, I just like to lie in my bed on my iPad. But then she loves running around. And there was days where, you know, when I look at her leg and that surgery and that horrible recovery and all of those times, and I think she was very fortunate to have that surgery, to live here in Australia. I never take that for granted. And when we graduated from the Royal Children's a couple of months ago, I'm crying in the room with everyone. Those two were like, can we go? What do you mean? We need to have a moment. No, they were done. They don't really remember, which is, you know, I'm thankful for that. But I remember every single thing.
Oh, that's right. And, Mandy, I remember some of those moments with you very clearly still. And, you know, it's a tough journey, and it takes a strong support system.
That's right.
For the kids and for the parents to get through it. And that's what's so wonderful about your podcast and this whole P tribe here.
So proud of everyone. Where can people come and join if they live in the Outer East? Can you tell us all the details? Can you or do you want us to wait for next year?
Look, no, we're saying, I always just say, just come along, even if you only get one session. So we've only got 2 months to go. But, yeah, look, it's Maroondah United Football Club. We've got a Facebook page that you can go to. I can give Mandy some links to that you can have a look at. We're not very good at social media. We must get onto that.
You'll be able to find it all, yeah.
Yeah, but, yeah, feel free and contact me. And, you know, I had someone ring me last week I got an email at 11 p.m. the Friday night, and I rang the mum at 8 a.m. Saturday morning, and they were there when we started.
They were. I can imagine. And you know, dedicated parent group.
Oh, they're just amazing, amazing people. So
is that in Ringwood?
We're based in Croydon.
Okay. So if you are someone that would like to volunteer, if you're someone that would like to come along, if you're someone that would like to learn from Kathy, just get in contact.
Absolutely. That'd be awesome.
Philanthropic and throw a truckload of money to it. I always say this because you never know who's listening. People are kind. Our P community is incredible. Throw the money at her.
Yeah, look, and we've had wonderful support. But, yeah, look, more volunteers and more funds would allow us to expand things further. And I'm very, very nervous to even say this thought out loud, but I'm now starting to think about whether I might set this up for a summer sport. But, to be advised, I've got a few little ideas.
In soccer, football, or would you do a different sport, like a summer?
A different sport, perhaps. Yeah, working on it.
I'm so excited. Incredible. I'm going to bring one of my girls down one day and we will come and have a look and say hello.
Oh, yeah, that'd be awesome.
She loves football. I know I've been more exposed to hearing about the Para Matildas and the Pararoos, which are the Australian football teams, and I think I didn't really know about them. So, and they have the Asia Pacific Cup this year in November in Melbourne. And so I, you know, even to be able to say to your families, let's all go and watch that.
Yes, yeah, that's right. Really exciting. We were fortunate. Melbourne Victory ran the inaugural All Abilities Soccer Gala Day earlier this year that we went along with and met up with some other clubs that are doing the same sort of work. And that was really exciting. And
be able to actually play a little game against them at some time.
Yes, yeah, so we played three matches against other clubs, and there are other clubs in other parts of Melbourne, so people can look up for that. If you contact Football Victoria, you'll actually be able to find some of the other clubs. We're the only ones that's out sort of in the eastern suburbs, but certainly there's a very big club at Northcote, and there's quite a lot in the western suburbs, and I think there's one down in Frankston as well. So they're all around the place. Mm. So it's nice to see that this is a growing area, and there's just more and more opportunities for kids of all abilities to get involved with sport and find their spot.
I think when you've got a sporting family, I remember being at the Royal Children's and one of the physios said to me there, when we spot a sporting family, we try to encourage them. So my husband is super sporty, and I know that was a bit of a loss in the beginning, like, okay, well, we thought our kids would be runners or play netball, or and so we had to really rejig what was that going to look like for our family.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I think, like I said, you know, you're the people that know your child best of all. So look for what works for your child, whether it's in sport, whether it's in therapy. And one of the things that I wanted to bring up was just feeling free to search around. So don't feel like if you're not feeling that your child's engaged and things are working well for you, don't think that you have to be stuck in a rut. You know, look at how you can do things differently, whether you can mix things up with your therapist, whether you can look at other opportunities that are available. You know, you can, I've got lots of families that, you know, talk about this with doctors and things, that someone told me I should go here and they're absolutely wonderful and I've been there and I didn't feel wonderful. And I'm sure, you know, there's probably people who come and see me and that we just don't gel or don't fit. I think it's really important to find that the fit for your child and for you, that's just the right thing. And that might be where you are, but it might be perhaps looking for something different and seeing if that works better for you.
I think we also talk about taking some breaks. So it's okay to have a break from therapy. Can you
talk? Absolutely. Yeah, look, I think that's really important. And there's some families that want consistency with things, but I've got other families that we might do a burst of therapy to work on a particular goal and then we'll just have a break for a while. I've got a few kids that I actually do a school holidays gross motor program. I hire out an indoor sports centre and set that up. And, again, that's just it's starting to become consistent that I don't see those kids at all during the term, but they come out with excitement for the school holiday program and they're now starting to, you know, want to meet up with each other. And there's a couple of the soccer kids, so I made sure that they came in the same time slot so that they could be together and it was now a social outing. So because sometimes therapy is so demanding, and once a child starts school, if you just save the school holidays for therapy time, you've got to have a holiday. So I tried to think a bit laterally and creatively so that they want to come out to do something. And then if there's a particular therapy need, I can follow up on it from there. But I think it's really important to take that time out.
I always say, like, you know, when my girls are 18 now, I don't look back and think that Tuesday in 2010 when I cancelled Kathy, it didn't matter.
Absolutely. And look,
your family, and we just had to have a jammies day and we just had to get through it.
Yeah. And look, one of the things that I try to make sure I tell all my families when I meet up with the new families and I revisit it regularly with families is that there is never to be any guilt around therapy. That I say, if you haven't done therapy today or this week or this month, that's okay. Don't ever feel any guilt. I say, pat yourself on the back for anything that you've done to help your child. And I have some parents sometimes coming in and say, we haven't done anything since we last saw you. And I went, well, yes, you have, because your child's smiling and they're dressed and I'm sure they've been fed and, you know, so you've done something wonderful. You know, doesn't matter if you didn't do that therapy, but let's see, can we do something different to make it more achievable or make it part of your daily routine or make it a bit more fun or what can we do? But never feel guilty when you don't do it. Just pat yourself on the back for every day that you get through and every little thing that you do for your child.
I hear that, Pees, because I think burnout is real within therapy, especially when we've got multiple therapies, OT, speech, physio, dietitian, psychology. Sometimes we're doing a lot, and then I definitely got burnt out for a while. So sorry if I was ever rude.
Never.
Well, sometimes for me it's just not answering the relentless phone calls, and I'm sure that annoys me over the time. But, yeah, I think sometimes it's okay just, yeah. That is a good reminder. We're still doing all the things we have to do every day.
Yep. And you know, the fact that you've actually turned up, well done, that's a huge step.
I used to walk into places with two of them and think, like, I'm here. This is as good as it gets.
You hero, yeah.
Yeah, I would have liked a red carpet. We wrote that in the book. If we made therapy, we put a red carpet in and everyone arrives feeling like royalty, because there's some of those mornings where you just think, I just can't do it today.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, there is, you know, value for the families that it works for having therapy in their natural environment, whether it's home or since COVID, I'm doing a lot more of meeting people at playgrounds and different parks and things. We started that, you know, to be COVID safe, but for a lot of children, if their thing that they're working on is related to being outdoors or in a playground or climbing or learning to use a swing or something, then that's what we need to do.
Yeah. So that is more freeing than, say, people who are working in a hospital, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I'm my own boss, so I get to choose where and how I do it.
Which is terrific, terrific.
Well, no, I don't choose it. I allow the families to, you know,
to
direct that. Yeah.
You can do it the way you want to do it, which is sounds and it is family-centered.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Well, and one of the other things that I try to do, and I've got a little sort of thing I got taught as a parent that I'd love to leave with your P parents, is someone told me when you're working, you know, when you're working with your child or, you know, doing life with your child, try and be a thermostat and not a thermometer. A thermostat sets the temperature and the tone of the environment. The thermometer takes on that temperature. So when things are going crazy, a thermometer kind of gets crazy too. The thermostat sets back and go, right, I'm not going to take on that temperature. I'm the one that's setting the temperature. And I'm trying to use that more and more in my practice. So when I've got a child that's coming in and they're dysregulated, I throw out what I was planning on doing and we might suddenly just go outside and run crazy. Or I put on music and we do the propeller, or I put on some classical music in the background, or trying to set the tone for things. That's been something I've used as a parent, but now as a therapist, and I reckon that's one to stick up on your fridge.
Definitely.
Be a thermostat, not a thermometer.
I'm a hardcore thermometer. I'm going to have to change my – that is so fascinating and a good visual for us.
Yeah, because, you know, when you come into the house, you know, you set your thermostat, you don't let it get to 20, 30, 40 degrees because everything's heating up. You put your thermostat on so that things regulate.
Wow. I think the peas are going to love that, Kathy. Thank you. Is there anything else we've missed that you want to tell the world?
Look, I think we've covered lots of things, but I was going to just tell you about one of my favorite. Am I allowed to mention a shop?
Yes, please.
Kmart is my physio friend at the moment, and those of you who have got kids at that stage will know why.
Yes.
It is just so amazing, all their gross motor stuff that they had, and I've noticed the area's getting bigger and bigger and there's more and more things there. There's just so many things that you can use, and again, this is where you can set up your environment to have therapy happening without, you know, therapy's happening. They've just got such wonderful things there with beanbags and stomp boards and foam play, and I keep coming home with my boot full.
Nice, and it's achievable price.
Absolutely.
I've noticed that myself, thinking I would have gone berserk with this. My backyard would have been full. You would have had.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, there's a lot of places I go to now that we've got all of this stuff set up, and it's just so much fun. And I think sometimes just choosing the right toys and the right bit of equipment can make things a whole lot easier for you, and again turn it into play when you, you know, I've just got some new Bluey stickers that I found recently, and I love it because, you know, I can get stickers up high so a child's on tiptoes and down on the floor so they're doing squats, and we take them over the balance beam to put Bluey in the park, and, you know, you can do so much just with using the right toys. So Kmart's wonderful. They've got a lot of things that can make it really easy and really fun to do therapy without doing therapy.
So it doesn't break the bank.
Yeah, absolutely.
Great advice, Kathy. Thank you so much. Well, I just want to say thank you personally for looking after my family, for all those times you came into this house that was probably just full of thermostatic behaviour and being such a big part in my girl's recovery. Thank you. It's very special to us. And I want to encourage you with your All Abilities Soccer. And I just think what an incredible legacy you're leaving for that family whose daughter died, for everyone to remember her.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very special.
Send all my love to that family. And whatever way the peace can encourage your program, we will. And, congratulations.
Oh, thank you. And thank you for the opportunity to share with you, share with your family over time, and share with the P Tribe today. It's been really special.
Thank you. Thanks, Kathy.
See ya. Bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.